Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
The Pats saved their season last night. It's been a while since we've been able to say that. In early November, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin were presented by Progressive Insurance. Fellas, I'm not sure what was more strange. The Jets having the halftime lead. The Jets having a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Joe Flacco throwing three touchdown passes.
Just the same old Jets.
Or Nick Folk, the former Jet, doing his old team in with no time to go.
Much like the Dallas Cowboys or the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not worried at all. Just figured, they'll get it turned around. They'll be fine. And I've seen this movie a million times.
But
In Jet fashion, the Jets jetted it away.
But the ending may be a little bit different. You've seen this movie 1,000 times before. Pats rally to win. Buck the odds, whatever small amount of doubters there have been over the years, they get stymied. The group is much larger now. But do you fellas still think they're a playoff team despite this win that took all of the 60 minutes to get?
I do. I absolutely do. They're going to be on the back end of that, though, right? They're going to be that 7th, 8th, 9th, fighting to get to the 7th type situation. And in the end, they're still a playoff team to me. Here, look, go back a week ago. Cam Newton played fine. Fumbles in the end. Instead of having the ball in his left arm, he's got it in his right. Instead of having it away from the traffic, he has it against the traffic. They punch it out. He fumbles. Played fine enough to win the football game. Had him in a position to win the game. You fast forward to last night. You look at it. You go, it's the Jets. How could that be? Every now and then, in 16 games is a long season. You're going to have a stinker, 2, 3, maybe even 4. Every single team in the National Football League, you can go around and look at close games and clunkers. I mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys. Pittsburgh Steelers are undefeated. That almost got taken away from them against the Dallas Cowboys. But it didn't. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost to the Chicago Bears. Do you really honestly think that the Chicago Bears, J. Will, are better than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Not even close. So you're going to have those type of situations where they're going to be tough games. Now, they've dug themselves in a deep hole. They've got to continue to keep playing better to climb themselves out of it.
I really disagree. I don't think the Patriots are going to make the Super Bowl. Make the playoffs at all.
Oh, you got them going to the Super Bowl.
No,
that's
the conference. They're not going to make. They're not going to make the playoffs. And look, I understand a win is a win, but how you win is important. Didn't we expect the Patriots to beat the Jets last night? The Jets are the worst team in football. Didn't we expect Cam Newton to come out and be somewhat decent to beat this Jets team? Now, if you want to talk about how they beat them, that's a different conversation than just the fact that they beat them. Look, they dominated time of possession last night. All right? Their defense, the Jets defense, was on the field for pretty much all the second half. In the second half, how about this, Zubin? The second half, offensively, the Jets only saw 4 plays. Offensively. 4 plays in the second half. I mean, that's in the fourth, I think. That's problematic. That's problematic. So you wear a defense down, and yes, you beat them by a field goal at the end, but how you beat a Jets team is pretty important, isn't it?
I'm encouraged watching Cam Newton have a Brady-like performance. 27-35, 200 and some odd yards, finding a guy like Jacoby Myers, much like a Julian Edelman, someone to lean on that you have confidence in that you're going to throw the football to. He rushed for 2 touchdowns. He didn't get one in the air. That's okay. That's okay. Brady wouldn't have the rushing touchdown. Brady would have him in air. But that's fine. At some point throughout the game, I believe Cam Newton was 11 of 11 or 10 of 11. And you know, methodically taking what they gave him, didn't force anything. I'm encouraged by that. Since coming back from COVID, he seems like he's getting a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And I go back to the New England Patriot Buffalo Bill game last week. It looked like Cam Newton had gotten better, even though they lost the football game. And then he picks up where he kind of left off from the Bills against the Jets last night. And again, I'll say it again. You're going to have some stinkers and some close games against teams that you may play down in their competition. It happens all the time in the National Football League.
On the other side, the worst team in football is off to its worst start ever. That's saying something. That's quite a double whammy there. The Jets are 0-9. for the first time. They didn't play with Sam Darnold's shoulder injury, didn't have Quinnen Williams' hamstring injury. The one bright spot the entire season has been their mammoth tackle, Mekhi Becton, who's been playing great football, left the game last night with a chest injury. Adam Gase was a little bit more sullen. Normally, he comes out really ornery in these post-game press conferences.
Well, the end is near. Can't say a whole lot.
Gotcha. He did say, we're doing everything we can. We're playing our ass off. It's just not enough. It was a little more positive, if there's anything positive to take from being 0-9. He usually comes in there a house of fire, and it gets really confrontational with the media. I didn't see that much of it last night when I was watching, but where do the Jets stand now? They're at a point they have never been in the history of the franchise.
I was on a 1-15 team. That coach got fired. That's all I can say. I was on a 1-15 team. The coach got fired after 2 years. And so when you look at it, I would think that Joe Douglas and Mr. Johnson, Christopher Johnson, who took over for his brother Woody to run the organization, have some thinking to do. And it shouldn't be long. It shouldn't be long.
I thought he was part of the solution, though, not the problem, when referring to Adam Gase. So this is like what I said about when sometimes when executives get up to a podium and they say certain things. Yeah, you take it for face value, but we all know what's coming with Adam Gase. Everybody feels it every time we watch a game, and you can't win these games, don't you, Key?
Well, yeah, when you 0-16 or 1-15, man, that's hard to sell. Okay, so if I go 1-15 and I'm in my first year as a first-time head coach and my team is decimated week in and week out and I'm losing players, or we're losing games by a field goal or we're losing games by a touchdown or whatever the case may be, and we're competitive, then I can carry that over because I can sell that to my fan base. But when I've already got a coach who's been fired from Miami, who's brought here, and my quarterback that we drafted the third pick 3 years ago is regressing and not progressing, then I got to look at that and say to myself, I can't hold on to this. And that's okay. And that's okay for them to wait to the end of the year to make a decision on what they're going to do. That's fine. That's fine. I don't care if they fire him now or at the end of the season. Right. Or I don't even want to call it fire. Parting ways with their coach at the end of the year right now. The Jets aren't going anywhere, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, that's why I go back to what we were talking about last week when Joe Douglas was talking about, hey, our quarterback, Sam Darnold, he's our future, you know, as it relates to Adam Gase. Hey, look, he's part of the solution, not part of the problem. I hear everything you're saying, Joe Douglas. I understand this is you and a Mr. Johnson issue that you're going to work on collaboratively. But in the day, you're sitting up here telling me something right now. All this will change. It could change in time. And like I said before, Trevor Lawrence and company, if they find a way to win a national championship and people are talking about him being a generational quarterback and this team goes 0-16, we will be hearing different words from Joe Douglas's mouth in a couple of weeks.
It's very interesting that you bring up Trevor Lawrence again, because last night Mel Kiper Jr. on NFL Money NFL Countdown said that Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are locked neck and neck. As far as 1A, 1B, however you want to look at it. And then you have the whole offseason to evaluate what that talent is in terms of the quarterback if the Jets decide or whoever decides to go in that direction at the quarterback spot. Sam Darnold certainly is making it hard to evaluate him if he's not going to get on the field. The shoulder injury, obviously, a couple weeks ago, coming back and then trying to play on it. And then late this past week, making a decision to not go because of the shoulder injury is hard, I'm sure, on Joe Douglas and whoever is helping Joe Douglas evaluate Sam to figure out whether he is the future or not. It can change. But based on what Joe said, I still got to believe that if they think that he may be the answer to them along with a bunch of help around him. They had all three receivers on the field for the first time last night. Mm-hmm. But guess where Sam was at? He was over here with us. So Joe Flacco looked like Joe Flacco from the Baltimore Ravens with Sam Toys. I don't know.
Yeah, Perryman looked all right. Their connection is certainly there and good. Again, you mentioned Mel Kiper Jr. He was on the show last week, reiterated to us it was 1A, 1B with Lawrence and Fields. Said the same thing last night on ESPN. And, of course, Mel's counterpart, Todd McShay, will join us this morning at 8:30. So we can kind of get
Todd.
Frank Caliendo getting it warmed up for all of his impersonations. We'll see if Todd is in, and you love when I say this, Key, we'll see if Todd is in lockstep with Mel to see where he's got Lawrence versus Fields. We're asking you this morning on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. I don't think the answer is going to be the Pats or the Jets, but you never know. Who's the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC? Simply put, who's the biggest threat to Mahomes and company? We want to hear from you. Be a part of the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. 888-SAY-ESPN or Key J and Z. Simple. One word, one team, the biggest threat to the Chiefs. Still to come, the SEC drawing a line in the sand with LSU. And wait till you see the line on their game this weekend.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Put your seatbelt on, because what we thought would be a great week of college football may be in some jeopardy. Ross Dellinger reporting right now. Mississippi State and Auburn has now been canceled. Meanwhile, A&M, they have paused practice activities for the day. The biggest game of the weekend, Bama and LSU, and we don't know whether that game will go on. Maybe we should have seen it coming.
Good morning. That's the voice of Paul Feinbaum. He's going to join us this morning at 9:10 Eastern. He had an opportunity to talk with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, who has a lot on his plate and a lot to figure out here. We'll hear from Sankey in just one moment. But just to recap what Paul said and then add a little more, because there was a big outbreak, literally and figuratively, in the SEC yesterday with regard to COVID news. Alabama, LSU, Baton Rouge this weekend in jeopardy. LSU may not have enough scholarship players. They've had an outbreak. Coach O's talking about moving players around the roster to make sure the quarterback position has depth if this game goes off. Good luck having that old high school quarterback run back out there with Alabama's defense rushing at him in an emergency situation. Texas A&M, along with Alabama, is also in the top five. A&M's only lost two. Alabama. They have paused activities. They're scheduled to play Tennessee, but they have one player and one student staffer that tested positive. You heard Paul say Auburn and Mississippi State. That's been moved to December 12th. That's the 1 week the SEC has allotted that's baked in for makeup games. And Arkansas' Sam Pittman, who's 58 years old, first-year head coach, done a great job in Fayetteville.
Yes, he has.
He had a test come back positive. Defensive coordinator Barry Odom will take over on an interim basis. You might remember Odom was Missouri's head coach, so he has some experience in the SEC. So that's all yesterday. That is all happening yesterday. The commissioner yesterday went on Paul's show. Again, Paul will join us at 9:10 a.m. Eastern, and said, listen, the fact that we thought we were going to sail through this, that's ridiculous.
We wanted to play the season as scheduled, but the reality is the circumstances around the virus always presented a challenge and the potential for disruption. We just have to manage through that, and we'll work with our universities, our athletics programs to do so. We don't have an infinite amount of time, and that's where the pressure over these last 4 or 5 weeks starts to mount. So the adjustments may be a little bit different than we contemplated 6 weeks ago, but still our focus is on trying to play as much of the football schedule as possible. And then we're going to deal with this disruption as it occurs and make adjustments and maintain the spirit of cooperation, collaboration, and flexibility we've had today.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. There was a lot of corporate mumbo jumbo there. You totally get it. Collaboration. Let's get together. Let's do what we can. I get all that. Let's jump into the meat of what he told Feinbaum. Here's the bottom line. December 19th is the SEC championship game. The week before that I mentioned, that's the 1 week where the league has essentially said any makeup games that need to happen, like LSU in Florida, Missouri and Vanderbilt, all those games will be played that particular week. But key, Commissioner Sankey also said we could play games on December 19th that involve teams that aren't involved in the SEC title game. So sure, that's our marquee showcase, SEC title game, December 19th, whoever is playing. And if anybody needs to make up a game on the 19th, it's available. It may not affect who plays in the SEC championship game or who goes to the playoff, but if you need to get that game in there and you can't do it on the 12th, you could play it on the 19th. The reason I bring that up, a team like LSU, they are scheduled to play Florida on December 12th. They could play Alabama on December 19th, but it doesn't make any sense. That would be the SEC championship game. That's a divisional game that's scheduled to be played. It might not be important for LSU because they're pretty much out of it, but that game could be important for Alabama. Problem is, they're running out of places to play it.
Well, why would it be important for Alabama?
Well, because Alabama could get to the SEC championship game and not play a full schedule, right?
Yeah, so? We know Alabama's one of the top teams in the college football playoff.
Hang on a second.
The college football in the SEC, right?
If you're Texas A&M and you play one less game than Alabama and your loss has been to Alabama and Alabama advances to the championship game by playing one less game, a game they potentially could have lost, totally understand. Yes. They would still have
but
the
they were not, point favorite.
But not only that, they were never – LSU could roll out every single guy from last year and the year before and the year – they're not beating this Alabama team.
I understand the spread is over 20 points.
Yeah, they're not beating them. They're going to blow the doors off them.
I'm just saying that if you are in a neck-and-neck chase with Alabama like Texas A&M is.
But Alabama already beat them head-to-head, right?
Correct. They have the head-to-head. Mm-hmm. But if they were to play a full SEC schedule.
Understood.
And Alabama were to not play a full SEC schedule, and they would get the nod over Texas
A&M. But I beat you head-to-head. Alabama was never losing to LSU. I understand A&M fan base and how A&M people may feel, but you already lost to Alabama, and Alabama was not going to lose to LSU. So stop even thinking that way.
Even rationalize that, Key, and I'm with you on that. This is what we expected going into a 2020 year full of COVID and not sure if teams will be able to play or not, right? We expected there not to be this, hey, everything has to be fair. Like, didn't we expect this? Like, didn't we?
Absolutely.
So that's where I'm a little bit lost. Like, now we want it to be fair, even though it may not have a chance to work out that way.
But it is fair. You know why it's fair? You know why it's fair? Because it's Alabama. That's why it's fair. It's not Alabama.
It's not fair because if A&M has even a 1% chance to win the SEC West, everybody else in that division should be stacked up against them. If you're LSU and you're out of the race,
yes,
that's fine. But if you're A&M and you have, yes, you're right, Alabama has the head-to-head. But anything could happen. Mac Jones gets injured and suddenly
they got
Alabama,
another dude right behind him.
That's fine. They do have a true freshman from California,
yeah,
your guy,
absolutely
ready to go.
Yes.
I'm just saying that if you're in the hunt and you're in the top five,
Bryce Young is right there waiting in the wings.
Well, and if you're Alabama, you play LSU and somebody from LSU has COVID and you don't know, and then one of your star players from Alabama catches COVID, then you're going to be screwed out of playing the national championship game. I'm saying there's a lot of scenarios where I hear what scenario that you're justifying in your mind. I could pose other scenarios because of that game that you might have to play at the last second that can then all of a sudden put Alabama in a position where they may not be able to win a national championship. So that's what I'm saying. There's nothing fair about this year. It's all uneven, but we kind of expected this going into this year if you're planning on playing in a COVID year, correct?
I don't think that's going to happen. Let's hypothetically go to Texas A&M for a second.
Okay, let's do
it. Let's say Texas A&M rises to number 2 in the polls.
Got it.
Ohio State loses, Notre Dame loses.
Got it.
They rise to number 2 in the polls.
Yes.
And they can't play in the SEC championship game because Alabama has won the West. But they still feel like, wait a minute, not only did we not get a chance to play in the SEC championship game, the team that does have the head-to-head with us played one less game, and you're number 2 in the country, and you're not playing on championship weekend.
But I don't understand, why would you think that I would put them ahead of Alabama?
I'm just saying everybody's got to play their games because you never know, to Jay's point, what the outcome could be depending on who's on the field.
Yeah, I don't think A&M can beat Alabama, and I certainly don't believe LSU has a chance to beat Alabama.
Oh, fair enough. I'm just saying the rest of the schedule. Just the rest of the schedule has to be played out. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. We're asking you this morning, the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC is?
Alabama.
Let us know. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, or KeyJNZ on Twitter.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
What a couple weeks it's been for the Buffalo Bills. You get that win over New England. Granted, not vintage New England, but considering they've won the division 11 straight years, the division now, for the moment, runs through Orchard Park. And in Orchard Park on Sunday, they take out the Seattle Seahawks. Quite a span. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Buster Olney will join us in less than 10 minutes on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. There's a lot of interesting things percolating in Major League Baseball, even though the season has come to an end with Keys Dodgers winning it all. But we'll talk to Buster here in about 6 minutes. We're asking you this morning on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, who's the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC? Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, or if it's easier, Key J and Z on Twitter. Want to get your thoughts, going to get Jay's thoughts and Key's thoughts to that question in just a moment. But first, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, weighing in on our question, the biggest threat to KC in the AFC.
To beat the Chiefs, you have to be explosive on offense. You just have to create big explosive plays. You know who's number one in the NFL in explosive plays on offense? The Kansas City Chiefs. You know who's number two? Buffalo Bills. You have to have a quarterback that can go above X's and O's. You know, like, you're going to get good play calls from a lot of different teams. You better go above X's and O's, because sometimes the defense is going to make a good play, a big play. Can you kind of create on your own? And then the third thing, it would be this. They got a really good coaching staff. Yep. Brian Daboll looked at that game and said, you know what, Seattle's pass defense, not very good. We're going to throw the ball a bunch. They threw the ball, I think, every first down. Every first down yesterday felt like they were throwing the ball. Stephon Diggs is great. Leslie Frazier was outstanding with his defensive plan. I think the Bills are the best and most equipped team to beat the Chiefs.
Quite the argument. Explosive plays. It's an offensive league. They are 1-2, as Dan said. Key, do you agree? The biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC. Dan is going Buffalo.
No. No, I don't agree. I'm not a prisoner of the moment. No, not at all. I understand that Josh Allen had a terrific game against a sorry-ass Seattle defense. I understand he is now back in some people's conversation for the sake of hype about an MVP. Josh Allen certainly played terrific against Seattle. There's no question about it. They do score in bunches. They have a lot of explosive plays, but that's not the only way you win football games. I think when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's a team. And then the team that beat Kansas City, the Oakland Raiders, John Gruden. For all of the, you know, John Gruden, Keyshawn Johnson relationship, sour, they don't like each other, this, that, and the other, whatever you want to call it, whatever it is, that dude can coach, though, man. He really is a good football coach. May not be a great quarterback coach and all that. May not have certain eye for talent. But when it comes to X's and O's and coaching and game planning and situations, beyond, he's really good at doing that. He's really good. And he beat Kansas City already this year in KC. Minimum fans, of course. They get him in Las Vegas with no fans. But you still get an opportunity to understand who Andy Reid is, someone that he knows. He knows Andy Reid's offense. He knows Spagnuolo's defense. He understands because of the division. And they have some really good talent on that side of the ball. Nelson Aguilar is coming alone. Obviously, we know Waller, the tight end. We know Josh Jacobs on the offensive side, and Carr's playing terrific at the quarterback spot. They just got to continue to shore up that defense and make sure that back end of the defense is playing solid and sound. But I think those two teams, Pittsburgh and Oakland, Las Vegas, are the ones to challenge Kansas City for the opportunity to play in the Super Bowl.
What about you?
I think the Raiders can do it, but I have Pittsburgh, and I agree with Dan Orlovsky with the Bills. And I would say this. about the Seattle game, because I know Key referred to them as their sorry-ass defense. They did get Carlos Dunlap. They did have Jamal Adams back in the game. Granted, their defense still has a lot of work to do, but I think that's a pretty good improvement. I think that what Dan's point was about the explosiveness of Josh Allen, having somebody to combat the plays that Patrick Mahomes can make, makes a lot of sense. And I do agree with him on the coaching staff aspect of it as well. Just Josh Allen, first down, they were taking advantage of the secondary each and every time. Stephon Diggs makes a huge adjustment in this ball game. They play out of their mind. Granted, I think they had a couple games where they were struggling. But, that's a matchup I would like to see at the end of the day just due to their ability of scoring. And, look, their defense put so much pressure on Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson kind of moves a little bit like Patrick Mahomes. He might be more fluid. But I don't think Russell Wilson got hit as much as he did on that Sunday as he did his entire career. I mean, he was getting knocked off left and right.
Well, you know, for me, I look at it and I look at the way Buffalo has played this year. They're a very good football team, there's no question. They lost to Tennessee, obviously, Kansas City. They squeaked out a W against Miami, squeaked it out. And Miami's a good football team, turning into a very good football team. They're not running away with the division. New England, for all it's worth, they just tighten a grip on Buffalo in terms of Buffalo looking over their shoulders. Miami and Tua going out to Arizona just tighten the grip of Buffalo looking over their shoulders. So Buffalo has more to worry about than looking at it and saying, we can play Kansas City. Well, they got to get through the AFC East. Miami's not going away. Miami's not going anywhere. They're not going away at all.
We want to hear from you. So the fellas have weighed in. Dan Orlovsky has weighed in with Buffalo. We want to hear from you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Key J and Z on Twitter. Simply put, one word, the team that poses the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC. Just for a point of comparison, Key, this will be a big spot. One thing that you kind of glossed over but I think is worth mentioning is that Kansas City's already beaten Buffalo. So Orlovsky's going to have to go back and look at that tape here, Key, to see if Buffalo is the biggest threat to Kansas City, the fact that they're already 0-1.
I didn't really gloss over that. I just didn't want to keep hammering the obvious. That's all.
Well, we both said Steelers, and then we named another team that could potentially be a threat, though, correct? So just to make sure.
Yeah, keep in mind, Week 11, Kansas City will take on Las Vegas. So, Key, if they want to really step up. Really step
ankle.
Up.
Can you tell everybody what's going on with
Go
your
ahead,
ankle?
Real quick.
No,
because
my ankle hurts, man.
You know that's not elevating it, right? You know it's still below your heart.
It hurts, man. That's all
you
I know.
You should elevate it. Keep it above your heart.
I'm fine just doing like this, man. It just hurts.
It's getting that's a all. Sympathy vote right now.
It hurts.
All right.
Quickly. Non-athlete.
It was a non-athletic injury? Yeah.
But what's so cool is I didn't fall.
I
was able to hold my balance.
Were you by yourself or were you in public?
No, I was at home.
Oh, okay. So you're by yourself early in the morning?
Yeah.
Last couple of things. Kansas City, Las Vegas. We'll see just how good the Raiders are if they can pull off a season sweep of the Chiefs. That'll be in Week 11. And Week 14, Jay, I wanted to mention your two contenders are actually going to meet. Buffalo will take on Pittsburgh in Week 14. That could be sort of a good eliminator game as well.
It's a lot of season left. And like I said, man, it sounds good. The hype machine is rolling. They got games to play. I've seen this movie before. Oh, these guys are this and that. It's like, man, just slow down a little bit. Slow down. Because for whatever it's worth, and I understand New England has put themselves in a hole, but they're not going away. They're not going away. They're not going away. You think last night Bill Belichick didn't fly back to Boston thinking, if we could just do this next week against Baltimore, maybe if we can somehow put a plan together to beat them, then we can do – I mean, that's what the NFL is all about.
And Week 10 of the NFL will be here before you know it. Indy and Tennessee begins Week 10 on Thursday. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Let's talk a little baseball.
The club is going to have young, going to have prime, it's going to have older guys. Every year, you start with the respect, trust at zero. And you have to work every day to earn it.
It's a risky move. There's no way around that. He is going to be 50 to 55 years older than some of his players.
What other of the 29 teams, if they had a managerial opening, would say, you know what, I'm going to go get me Tony La Russa? The answer is zero.
That last voice you just heard was Jeff Passan, ESPN Major League Baseball insider, saying the answer would be zero, but this morning the White Sox have one big problem. It was a fun story on the surface. A 76-year-old manager hired by an 84-year-old owner, 3 decades plus after the owner fired that manager. Since then, that manager has won the World Series, has gone to the Hall of Fame, and what's old is new again. Tony La Russa to the Chicago White Sox. But we've got a problem. He was charged with a DUI after a February arrest. The case wasn't filed until the 28th of October, one day before the Pale Hose officially hired him. This is a mess. Let's bring in Buster Olney, ESPN Baseball Insider, joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. This is his second scrape with the DUI. This happens at the age of 76. How likely is it that this impacts his job status before he even manages one game in his second stint on the south side of Chicago?
Yeah, Zubin, I don't think it's going to affect it at all. Just in talking with officials with other teams last night, the least surprising thing was that the White Sox immediately put out word that this will not change Tony La Russa's status. And look, Jay, I don't know what your experience was with the Bulls. You know, are also owned by Jerry Reinsdorf, but Jerry Reinsdorf is, without a doubt, in my experience, at least when it comes to front office people, the most loyal owner in professional sports. Agreed. It doesn't mean he's the most effective. It doesn't mean he's the best owner, but he is the most loyal, which is why he decided he was going to give Tony La Russa this unusual opportunity 9 years after Tony last managed, you know, at a time when Tony's 76 years old. And so it was not a shock to anybody around baseball last night, though the White Sox were immediately tamping down the idea that this DUI was going to affect Tony's status. And, you know, they also were putting out word that they knew of this at the time the hire was made.
Buster, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that, knowing Jerry Reinsdorf since I've been 21 years old. That's who he is. What has been word around the league about La Russa being hired in that position?
Total shock. Absolute shock. I mean, you think where you know, Major League Baseball has been going in recent years with its hires. They, you know, have gone away from the old field general. I mean, quite frankly, the way Tony used to be known is a guy who was tough and disciplinarian, could relate to players to some degree, but mostly was dictating to them. In recent years, it's more about collaboration. It's more about having managers who are younger, closer in age to the players, relating to the players. You have guys like Craig Counsell, the Milwaukee Brewers, Aaron Boone, Alex Cora, you know, players who are, or excuse me, managers who are more like peers than they are necessarily being the guy who's going to, you know, dictate things. And on top of that, in the last decade, since Tony last managed, the sport has changed dramatically through the use of analytics. And not all that is good change, but the fact is that the feeling around the sport is you need to be fluent in that stuff. You need to be able to relate it to players and convey that information to players, and that's going to be a big question going into spring training. Can Tony La Russa relate to players who are 50 years younger than he is, and can he be someone who can relate some of the analytics that the sport's driven with?
Buster, let's stick with skippers being hired. What has been the reaction to the Red Sox obviously hiring Alex Cora again after the cheating scandal, and the Tigers hiring another cheater in A.J. Hinch?
Yeah, Key, I got to tell you, it's interesting that I've never seen anger over an incident hold the way that this one has. In other words, people with other teams are still furious about the Astros, and I think they always will be. And there is a feeling that the Astros players in particular have not really owned up and understood why it is that people with other teams are upset. But there was an assumption all along that A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora were going to be back quickly in jobs, because they're two of the best managers in baseball. You know, Alex, I thought at the outset of this, after the Red Sox let Ron Renicke go, I thought they would be crazy if they didn't rehire Alex, especially for a big market team in Boston, you know, a high scrutiny market. I mean, you have an opportunity to hire a manager who's had success, who's one of the best managers in baseball, who connects with players so incredibly well. And the cherry on top is that he's been in that market. Like, he understands the media. He knows the media members from the time as a player, from his time as a manager. And think about how Chaim Bloom, the head of baseball operations, would have been set up for an absolute disaster next year if he had hired a first-time manager in Boston and the Red Sox struggle. And that is the expectation that they probably will in 2021. he would have gotten destroyed. The new manager would have gotten destroyed. Bringing Alex back buys Haim 2 years as he sets in his own program.
And then you double down with the fact that it wasn't a guarantee, but if Haim Bloom hires somebody else and Alex Cora is hired by another organization and Cora goes on to have success, that would be a devastating blow. Buster Olney is joining us this morning, the Baseball Insider on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And oh, by the way, going back to La Russa, Dave Roberts, Kevin Cash, your World Series managers, Alex Cora, A.J. Hinch, what do they all have in common? They are of the younger breed. I want to ask you about Jeff Luhnow, the old manager, general manager of the Houston Astros, who Rob Manfred, he came on our program, Buster, the day the World Series began. We asked about Luhnow, his possibilities of getting back in Major League Baseball, and Manfred was as harsh as any guest has been on any individual in the 3 months we have done this, essentially saying, we have so much evidence on this guy, it would be foolish for any team to hire him. Yet he's suing the Astros for more than $22 million because of the way that his termination was brought about. What are the chances that this guy with this baggage will ever work in Major League Baseball again?
Boy, well, first off, we know this, is that when Alex Rodriguez was going through his process of trying to buy the Mets, he was working with Jeff as a consultant. And that gives you some indication. Jeff, there's no question, in his time in terms of wins and losses, in his time with the Astros, he was incredibly successful. Now, my own opinion is I don't like the fact that he went so far in the tanking that he did. Other things like making the deal for Roberto Osuna after that pitcher had been suspended under baseball's domestic violence policy. It's not something other general managers would have done, but the Astros won under Jeff. And I think as with AJ, as with Alex, the bottom line is all you need is convince one owner, one front office, that you can be a help. And I do think at some point he will be back in baseball in some form or fashion. And his case reminds me so much of what we've seen in college sports through the years, where the head coach sort of covers his eyes and doesn't want to hear about money going under the table to players. The question now is, can they absolutely prove beyond a doubt that Jeff knew what was going on? He certainly should have known, no doubt about that. I'm not buying the story, but to prove it in front of a jury will be very interesting.
Buster Olney, ESPN Baseball Insider, host of Baseball Tonight's podcast, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Buster, let me ask you this before we let you get out of here. Major League Baseball free agency is underway. Who are the names and teams to watch this offseason? Hopefully we keep Justin Turner out west.
I think they will. I mean, Justin has a great relationship with the Dodgers, and he's valued, and he's reached that stage in his career where he'll probably be signing a series of one-year deals through the end of his career. The Mets. The Mets are going to be the dominant story of this offseason. You know, Steve Cohen, their new owner, is going to be holding a press conference later today. And in a winter in which, because of the changing financial landscape, a lot of teams won't be spending, the Mets will be spending. And if you told me that on opening night, George Springer would be the leadoff hitter for the Mets, it wouldn't shock me. If you told me that Francisco Lindor would be their shortstop, the Indians are expected to trade Lindor sometime during the course this wintertime, that wouldn't shock me. The Mets are going to be hyper-aggressive. Best pitcher available, Trevor Bauer. I wouldn't be surprised if the Mets got involved with him, maybe the Toronto Blue Jays. He's going to get the biggest deal among pitchers.
How about that with the Mets, especially at the top of the order? Steve Cohen, the new owner, grew up as a Mets fan, and now his latest toy is the franchise itself and those long-suffering Metropolitan fans. Maybe, just maybe, if even half of what Buster said comes true, or can't wait for spring training next February. Buster, thank you so much.
See you guys.
All right, Buster.
That's Buster Olney on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Let's go from A to Z.
Not to be confused with Buster Rhymes.
Buster Bus.
From A to Z, brought to you by Redbox. Redbox's new movies at the box, streaming on demand from the producers of Get Out and Us. Don't miss Antebellum, starring Janelle Monáe. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch. For anybody that still thinks Mike McCarthy is going to be one and done in Dallas, Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones is essentially saying, fellas, come up with a new topic on First Take, will you?
Stephen, you feel pretty strongly that Mike is the guy going into 2021, regardless of how the rest of this season plays out?
Absolutely. Unequivocal. You're changing a culture. You change when you change the leadership. And certainly we like stability. That's why we Stayed with Jason for 10 years, and certainly we know, you know, these things don't happen overnight in terms of, you know, when you turn things around.
It's not as fun when Stephen A. and Max talk about a coach staying, but apparently that's going to be the case.
Look, here's what I would say. They got a plan. Jerry and Stephen, Jerry Jr. and Will Clay, they got a plan in Dallas, and they like the plan. So can't argue with their plan.
I told you guys Mike McCarthy wasn't getting fired this year. I told you with the amount of head coaches this franchise has had in the history of the franchise that there's no way after 1 year and them losing Dak Prescott that they will let him go.
Doesn't make it right, but they got a plan.
No question about it. So, again, the Cowboys who have started four quarterbacks in a five-game span from Dak to Dalton to DiNucci to Gilbert are going to stick with Mike McCarthy the rest of the way. Again, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and we're asking you this morning, our Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, hit us up. Biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC is who? Pittsburgh, Buffalo. Key has even floated the Raiders out there as a possibility.
They beat them.
We'll see what happens. Still to come, the Meadowlands was once known for a Monday night miracle.
What do you mean,
and
Lowe's?
We nearly had another one last night.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.